You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's show. This is your host, Rick Franzi. It's my pleasure to host Critical Mass, the radio show. The business talk show airs live on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. If you're listening to our show in the future as a podcast, let me say thank you for making this program a part of your busy business day and encourage you to consider listening to the program live during its broadcast time, heard exclusively here on www.octalkradio.net. I would like to thank our sponsors, Succession Strategies and Smart Business Magazine, for bringing you the show today. The goal for the show is to help our listening audience to make better decisions. If you are listening to the program live and you would like to join in the conversation with one of our two guests, if you're listening to hear my interview with Carl Hardesty, CEO and co-founder of Hardesty LLC, well, just hold on, because we'll be getting to Carl as our second guest around 4:25 to 4:30 this afternoon. But if you are listening live and maybe you want to participate in the show, it's very easy. Find the community chat room section of octalkradio.net's website. Log in. This will connect you directly to one of our producers, Paul Roberts. Paul will be monitoring the traffic, responding with you, and possibly we'll be able to work a question or observation that you have into the show with one of our two guests. Speaking of two guests, my first guest is Shelley Ehler, and Shelley is the founder of her company, and Shono is her company, and it's a unique firm in that she's designed a poncho-style beach towel that she sells under the name of Shono. And we're going to be talking with Shelley about a lot of things that we talk about here on Critical Mass, the radio show. And as an added bonus, during her interview with us, we're going to ask her about her experience on the ABC TV show Shark Tank. She was one of 52 entrepreneurs selected from a pool of over 20,000 applicants. And I'm excited to have her share her experience with you, because some of you entrepreneurs yourself may have a design to be on Shark Tank, and you can learn from Shelley's experience. So without any further ado, let's turn our attention to our first guest today here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and that is Shelley Ehler. Shelley, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Let's begin very simply. Explain to our audience kind of your background. You know, what were you doing before? I mean, what is your professional experience? And, you know, what were you doing before you were an entrepreneur now leading this fast-growing Orange County firm?
Well, I'll tell you, I had nothing to do with what I'm doing now. I graduated from the University of Arizona with a multiple subject teaching credential, and I was an elementary school teacher. I taught second grade for many years. And up until the point that my oldest son was born 10 years ago, I decided to stay home and be a stay-home mom. I also helped my husband with his business on the side, but for the most part, you know, I've been a stay-home mom and a substitute teacher for the last few years for the Capo Unified School District. And so really had nothing to do with anything that I'm doing now, which is interesting.
Okay, so let's talk about what you're doing now. And let's start with the inspiration for the idea that created the product that launched the company. So take us back and give us, from your perspective, sort of what got you started on this trail.
Yeah, I'd love to. I got the idea in about 2009, and I was at the pool with my boys. I have two boys, one that's 7 and one that's 10. And we were leaving, and my oldest son wanted to change from his wet swim trunks into his dry clothes. And so I grabbed a towel and I wrapped it around him, kind of like making a tent, you know, so he could change without anyone seeing him. And while I'm holding his tent for him, my younger son is getting impatient. He wants me to hold his tent. And so, you know, I only have two arms. I'm holding one tent. I can't hold the other tent. And my little guy is getting frustrated. And I kind of look around. I see other moms holding tents for their kids. And it just sort of dawned on me, I wish that there was something that I could just throw over them and they could change on their own. And I just started thinking about it, and nothing came to me, and I slept on it. And that night, probably about 4 in the morning, I just shot out of bed, and I had this idea. And I actually instantly almost started laughing because I thought, oh, my gosh, it's almost so simple that it's stupid. It's almost so brilliant that it's stupid. Why not just take a towel and put a slit right in the middle of it, and they could wear it and change their clothes without anyone seeing it? And I just started laughing to myself, and I jumped up. I Googled it, and I'm looking online. I'm like, oh, crossing my fingers. Please don't let this be out there. Please don't let this be out there. And page by page, I'm not finding it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I knew right away. I knew I was onto something, and I knew it was special. You know, I'm a really creative person. I come up with ideas all the time. But I'll tell you, when I got this idea, it was different. It was like, it felt more like it kind of came through me. I felt it kind of flow through me, and I knew it was special. And I took a towel, I put a hole in it, and when my son got up that day, I threw it over him, and I said, okay, change your clothes. And he changed his clothes, and I just started laughing. And I said, oh, my gosh. We took him to the pool with it that day. I had about 5 people come up to me and say, what's your son wearing? And I went, all right, this is it. Here we go. And I never looked back. And that's exactly how it started.
That's a powerful story, especially the part where you feel that that this idea worked through you, that you didn't create it, that it was given to you. I'm sort of putting words in your mouth, but that's what I'm hearing from your explanation.
That's exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take us through, and later we're going to talk about your experience with Shark Tank. So sort of take us through how you went from that to building a company and selling the product.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, this is an important part of the story, too, that as this happened and I got this, you know, and I had the inspiration to do it, I just immediately knew it was something I had to do. I told my husband, he agreed, and I just set my sights forward. The thing that was interesting to me and the one thing that started to get in the way, and I think it's one thing that gets in the way of a lot of entrepreneurs, is the voice of my ego started talking to me. You know, and we all have this voice in our head, our ego, that always wants to point out, you know, everything that's negative. And the voice of my ego started saying to me, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Listen, you don't know what you're doing. You have never done this before. You have no money. You have no connections. You really have no clue what you're doing. Get a real job. I mean, this is kind of silly, you know. And luckily, the voice of my heart, I heard that next. And it came through so loud and clear, and it said, listen, forget that. You dream the dream, and you believe it. That's your job, and I'm going to take care of the how. All I need you to do is dream and believe, and I will take care of your how if you do that. And I swear it's exactly what I heard, 100%. I followed it in faith. And the thing is, the voice of my head, you know, my ego was right, because I really didn't know what I was doing. I really had no experience. I really had no money. But what I did have was my faith in what I was doing. And in that faith, you know, Shark Tank became my how. And I find the whole thing incredible. But when I wrap myself in that faith, and when anyone, when you follow that voice and you wrap yourself in that faith, what I've come to learn is that all the right people and all the right circumstances just line up and show up in your life, almost like magic. I mean, it feels like magic. And that's just what happened to me. All of a sudden, you know, when I wrapped around that and just decided to believe it with faith, boom, people just started to appear in my life. My neighbor down the street is in advertising. He designed my logo for me. Boom. My aunt, who's a seamstress, helped me with the design. Boom. I figured that out. I had a patent attorney that moved in next door. She helped me with my patent. We traded patent for drapes. Boom, that happened. Everything just started lining up. A local business owner here in Ladera Ranch started selling my product, just helped me out and started mentoring me and teaching me about wholesale and all those type of things. I had no idea how to do any of this. It all just started coming together piece by piece by piece. People showing up in my life exactly when I needed them, exactly on time. And I really feel like that's how you know, when you're on the right path, because people will just appear. Things will just appear as if it's meant to be, because it is.
I think that's a powerful teaching moment here on the radio program, which leads me to my next question, because I really believe that what's between your two ears is so very important for entrepreneurs and business leaders to help them get to the success that they desire. And so you're really talking about a belief system, and in my opinion, you know, what goes on inside your own head, that voice that talks to you. So I'd like to ask you, of all the things that you've learned, and maybe we're touching on it now, but could you share with our audience the guiding principle that you're using as you're leading now and growing your entrepreneurial firm?
Sure. I really think my guiding principle right now is just to be open, to all things. I try as much as I can to say yes. I think when you say yes to the world, it says yes back to you. I try and do what I can to help and to mentor others. I know that when you give your life in service, that the universe will serve you back. And so that is my guiding principle right now. One thing that I've learned about being open, and it's so important being an entrepreneur and staying open, because the thing is so often that we want to attach to a result. And we want to attach and, you know, we don't have control. So you have to stay open, because your how can be so many. There are infinite possibilities for things to come into your life. But when you attach to one possibility, then you limit yourself. And then when it doesn't show up in your life, you're disappointed and it throws you down. So what I try and stay open at all times. I try and set a goal and I shoot for it. But if it doesn't manifest the way I want it to, then back to the drawing board. I just keep myself open and throw it out there. And it's amazing how it'll manifest in a different way, usually, almost always, better than the way that I envisioned it. You know, almost always better than the way that I envisioned it. And so I tell people this all the time. It's interesting because I'm mentoring a ton of people who are interested in trying to be on Shark Tank. I get phone calls and emails, especially since they're casting right now. So I have people reach out to me all the time, and I try and tell them, please, stay open. Stay open. Shark Tank was my how, but I don't know that it's going to be your how. It could be. It very well could be. You know, you have to follow the voice, and it very well could be. But don't just attach to that's it, that this is your how, because it's not going to be for a lot of people. The thing is, there's always a way if you stay open. I think being open is so incredibly important.
Again, another teachable moment for entrepreneurs, and I really enjoy the fact that you are prepared and you bring the energy to the show, Shelley. We've got quite a number of other questions that we're going to ask you here. We're going to take a short sponsorship break. When I come back, I'm going to ask you to share with our audience a current challenge that's facing the business and what you're doing to mitigate that challenge from affecting your growth. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned to Critical Mass, the radio show. Our guest here for the first segment is Shelley Ehler, founder of Shodo, and we're going to be talking about that question and a few others when we come back. But first, let's listen to these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk about your family business? You know, that thing you put your whole life's blood, sweat, and tears into? Well, what happens when you retire or try and pass that business on to your children? At Succession Strategies, we can help you find the answers. We'll guide you through the unsettling process of protecting your family legacy and successfully passing your business on to the next generation, safely and securely, ensuring that it'll both survive and thrive for generations to come. So ask yourself just one question. Can I really afford to wait? Take the first step. Take our complimentary self-assessment at successionstrategies.com or call us at 714-560-9022 to set up a free consultation at your convenience. That's succession-strategies.com. Succession-strategies.com. Succession planning for your family's continued success.
Thank you. It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Critical Mass, the radio show. Shelley Ehler, founder of Shono, is our guest. Before the break, I said we were going to ask you about a current challenge that's facing the firm. Shelley, do you have one, and would you share it with our audience, please?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The current challenge I'm facing is the one I've really had all along, and it really is manufacturing my product. I'm manufacturing it here locally in a small scale, and I figured everything out, and we're doing it, and it's running smoothly, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm so grateful for the people that work with me and that help me sew. I have found some tremendous people that are just wonderful. But in terms of ramping up and really being able to mass produce this, there's just a lot I still have to learn about that. And it's challenging and it's scary, but, you know, I'm just trying to take it slow. And I think that's important, too. You know, my mentor from the show, Lori Grenier, she gave me some great advice once, and she said to me, I told her when we first started working together, and of course I was so excited, like a lot of entrepreneurs, and you just want to go, 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 and you want everything to happen tomorrow, and you want it all done. And she said to me one day, she said, Shelley, listen, you need to walk before you run. You need to walk, you know? And I really get what she means, and it was great advice, because you really do have to. When you run, you miss so many of the things that you can learn along the way. So I'm taking it slow, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm connecting with a lot of people, and a lot of incredible people have come into my life that are helping me with the next phase in terms of ramping up and ramping up my production, my manufacturing. I recently connected with someone who's helping me with some production management, and I'm just taking it step by step, and when the time is right, then we'll take that next step. We'll take that next step, but that's still probably my main challenge right now.
So that challenge suggests that you have increasing demand and you need to scale your manufacturing. So that's a perfect lead-in, I guess, for me to ask you about your Shark Tank experience. It is a popular show. It is probably one where, obviously, from the competition when you were selected, 24,000-plus people were hoping to be selected for a very small number of spots. So just help us to learn from your experience being on the show and being a successful entrepreneur on that show.
Well, it really has been the greatest blessing ever. I mean, I just feel so tremendously grateful for the whole experience. I say thank you for all of it. It's been quite a roller coaster, I'll tell you. No one can really prepare you for what being on a reality show looks like and what it does to your product, and in so many different ways. It's been a roller coaster. I'm grateful for all of it, but you know, when there's a lot of pressure on you all of a sudden. Overnight, there are a lot of eyes on you. There's a lot of pressure, and you're thinking, "Oh my gosh, I should be here when I'm here," and those type of things, you know? So that was, you know, after we aired, it was just it's been insane, the type of emails that I get. I've been flooded with thousands of emails and phone calls. The exposure, it really is tremendous, but just to be able to be selected for the show was such an honor. And to be able to, the whole cast and crew of Shark Tank is so great. The executive producer of the show is probably one of the nicest guys ever. And I feel very grateful to them. They've been very good to me, and they've really promoted me a lot through the show, through all their commercials and things like that. But I'll tell you, it's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for everyone. You have to have, oh, my gosh, wow. It's the scariest thing I've ever been through, you know. Originally, to be honest, I didn't even want to audition. My best friend was convincing me to do it, and I said, why would I want to do that? I've seen that show. I'm terrified of it, and I would not want to go on a show like that with the potential to have five people tell me that I'm a loser, you know. Why would I want to do that and put myself out there? And I just, I got the courage, and that's really what it takes. It takes courage. It takes a tremendous amount of courage. And I kept showing, that's the thing is, it kept showing up in my life. And one lesson I've learned that I think is so important, and so important for all people, when something keeps appearing in your life, you can't ignore it, you know? And everyone just kept talking. People would talk to me. At least once a week I'd hear from someone, have you ever, you should be in that show Shark Tank. Shark Tank this, Shark, have you ever thought about Shark Tank? You should be in that show Shark Tank. And then, you know, one day when I had a friend email me and say, I have a friend who works on Shark Tank. She thinks you should apply. I thought, you know, if it's one thing I've learned, when something keeps showing up in your life, you can't ignore it. So I went for the open audition, and it all went quite smoothly. I was cast pretty quickly, and I immediately started preparing for the show. It was really the scariest thing I've ever done. I spent 3 weeks preparing for the show. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was sick to my stomach every day. But the amazing thing is that when I walked in there, and I walked in front of the sharks, I was at total peace. And I have people ask me all the time, and they'll say, gosh, you didn't even look nervous. And I said, you know, I wasn't. And it's amazing because I wasn't. I walked in there, and my spirit did the work. I can't take credit for it, you know. I just let it go, and I let my spirit do the work. And I left there with a better deal than I went in asking for. And I left there with cash in hand that no one has ever left with. So I think it's pretty special. I know I did a really tremendous job. I'm super proud of it. And I think one of the greatest things that I got out of it really is I don't know that I'll ever really be afraid of anything again. I feel like I conquered my biggest fear. And I just feel like in doing what I did, I know there's nothing I can't do. I believe it. I know that there's nothing I can't do. So that has been overall the greatest part of the whole thing for me. And also, I mean, that has been wonderful. The other thing that really has been the most tremendous part of it for me is connecting with people. I've connected with so many people since the show. I have people that email me. Oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe the thousands of emails that I get. And I respond to everyone. And but people really have felt touched by my story and inspired by my story, and that lifts me up so much. And I'll respond back to them, and they'll say to me, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that you responded to me. Thank you so much for your advice. And I write back, and I say, thank you, because as much as you think that I've brought to you, trust me, you've brought just as much back to me. Because I know that that's what life's about. It's always about giving, 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 giving and receiving, giving to someone, you know, always putting yourself out there. So I love connecting with people, and I love, love, love the experience of that. That has been the most tremendous to me of the show, for sure.
I happen to see on, I DVR the show when I watch it in chunks, so I see episodes kind of back to back. But on a recent one that I had watched, you were one of the featured updates that they did. And if I remember correctly, you and Lori and your family were at Disney World in Florida. So it's a perfect lead-in. Correct me on my facts if I have that incorrect. But also, it's a good lead-in to my final question for you today, which is, where do you see the growth? I'm going to have you back on at some point in the future, Shelley. What's Shono going to be doing? What's the future look like for you? How does the company set up for the future relative to, you know, the opportunities that are now in front of you?
You know what? The sky's the limit, really, Rick. I mean, honestly, I know there's no place that I can't take this. I have such high hopes, and the Disney thing has been absolutely wonderful. It really has been one of my biggest dreams to sell my towel there. And, you know, I said all along, I dreamed my biggest dream, and it took me to the land where dreams come true. And it felt that way. It really was the most magical thing I have ever done in my life, to be at that Magic Kingdom and to film that episode. It was so special, I can't even tell you. We're already sold out of towels. They put in our first order, and we completely sold out in less than a month. And I'm blown away. I knew we were going to, but it feels really good to have it actually happen. So the next thing, you know, we're talking to our buyer about expanding onto the Disney Cruise Line and to resorts and things like that. So that is so tremendously exciting. I'd love to be on other cruise lines. I'm selling to all the major theme parks just found out today. We delivered to Legoland, California last week, last Tuesday, and they are blowing through their towels so fast. I just got, I actually cried. It was really neat. I read the email from our buyer, and she said, "Shelley, I am blown away." She said, Legoland, Florida is going to call you. And I got a call from Legoland, Florida today, and they put in an order. And it's just such a tremendous blessing. So we're just going to keep pushing forward. We're going to, you know, I'd love to see us in all the major theme parks as well. I'd like to see us in more swim venues, cruise ships. And I eventually am thinking about maybe working more selling directly to consumers through, like, networks of resellers and things like that, like possibly other moms and things like that coming on as resellers. So we're growing every single day and just really thankful for everything. I mean, that's been one of the greatest lessons of my journey, is to say thank you for all things at all times, especially the bumps in the road, because I think I've learned the most from the bumps in the road, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes those bumps give me the greatest lessons ever. And when I say thank you for them, I find my peace and I move forward. And so I just feel very, very blessed. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share my message with you and to connect with you, because when we met, I thought you were such a positive person and such an awesome person. And so I'm really grateful for this opportunity, Rick.
Thank you. And final question then, if someone listening today live or in the future as a podcast off of iTunes or one of the other podcasting services says, geez, I want to learn more about Shelley's story and her company and her product, how do they find you online? What's your website?
Yeah, it's Shono, www.shono, shono.com. And that's definitely the best way to connect with me. All my contact information is there. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. I always respond. And, you know, and I also have a blog on my website, too. It shares a lot of my journey and a lot of my inspirational messages. And so I would love for you to join me there. And so, yeah, that's the best way to find me.
Thank you for being on the program and delivering the message about all the topics that we cover.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth.
Welcome
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. Our second guest is Carl Hardesty, CEO and co-founder of Hardesty LLC. In 2011, Carl co-founded his firm, which is a national professional services firm providing on-demand, experienced executives to companies in need of immediate CFO, controller, and other financial and accounting talent. Carl, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here.
Let's talk about your background. Before you got the entrepreneurial bug to start your own firm, what were you doing and what's your professional experience? Help our audience learn a little bit more about you, Carl.
Sure. This is my first entrepreneurial venture. I've been in the financial management business my entire life. Started out my first 15 years as a auditor, CPA, ending that stint as a partner with Ernst & Young, which is a big four accounting firm. After that, a couple of CFO stints, one with a public company, one with a private company. And after those ended, I ended up with sort of a startup firm called Tatum, which was sort of the first national CFO firm, and started their Southern California practice back in 99. And spent 11 years with them until September 2010, and then started my own firm shortly after that in the summer of 2011.
So what is it, what was the inspiration for starting your own firm? And also tell us about, I kind of teased a little bit about what it is your firm does, but help us to understand from your client's perspective, Carl, what is it that makes Hardesty LLC different in the marketplace?
Sure. Well, being a little bit facetious, I didn't think I'd make a very good employee after sort of being a partner in a firm and sort of getting to run my own show for a while. So I thought it's time for me to take the entrepreneurial jump and sort of start my own firm. I thought we could be successful at that because I had a lot of good people and good relationships that we developed over the past 11 years. And then in terms of the company, what we do, my prior company sort of pioneered the concept of a part-time CFO. A lot of entrepreneurial companies and companies, let's say, less than $50 million can't really attract or don't think they can afford a full-time CFO, but yet they might need some of that talent. So that whole concept was sort of started back in the late 90s, but it was never put together in a national firm. So that's what my former firm did, and that's what I'm trying to do with Hardesty LLC. So basically, when companies call us, they're really in a bind. They need some sort of financial management talent. We are typically referred in by trusted advisors, either their banker or their lawyer or their CPA, and there's something that is brewing that causes them to need some sort of senior financial management. Now, we also do executive search, sort of traditional executive search, but our real forte is the speed at which we can drop somebody into a company who sort of has an immediate need. So let's say a company is having banking issues or blows a banking covenant or just is just not doing well and they really need some serious financial management work. We can literally, you know, within a couple of days drop somebody in and jump on that problem, and that could be part-time, it could be full-time. So it's all about, you know, you've always been able to access a lawyer, a doctor, sort of on demand, but you've never been able to access that with a CFO. So that's what Hardesty LLC does.
Is it your experience that companies that are in crisis need the kind of talent that you have ready, or is it companies that are going through a growth spurt or a funding event or something that is out of the norm that requires this incremental skilled talent?
Actually, Rick, it's all the above. Certainly companies who are experiencing some financial pain, and we're actually affiliated with a company called Glass Ratner that specializes in companies going through severe financial pain that need financial restructuring or maybe entertain some sort of a bankruptcy. And bankruptcy sort of is a bad name, but sometimes it's a very viable option for companies to, you know, manage their creditors and get a fresh start and so on. But in terms of Hardesty, you know, we have clients that are growing, that are out just growing out and outgrowing their current talent. They really need the skill and expertise of a seasoned financial executive to work with their banker. We work a lot of private equity firms who are buying companies in the $20 to $100 million range. They are very interested in having quality financial people on board early, and sometimes we'll even do some mentoring with maybe a up-and-coming executive who just needs a little bit of mentoring in terms of stepping into the CFO role. So we're sort of a full-service firm around the whole finance and management space. We also provide other interim executives, CEO, COO, CIO, but we really focus on the finance area.
I'd like to ask you about your guiding principle. It's my experience, as we heard from our first guest, Shelley, and other guests here on Critical Mass, the radio show, that it's what's between your ears many times that really predetermines the level of success that the company that you're leading is able to have. So I'd like to understand from you, Carl Hardesty, and your name is on the door as well.
It is.
Which even adds another level of kind of pressure or reality to this business world. What is your guiding principle that you're using to build this firm for sustainable, lasting growth?
Well, it's a great question, and I studied the question before we went on the air, and it all came down to sort of treating clients right. I mean, we really will go to bat for our clients. We give a lot of free time. I tell my partners to leave time on the table. We always want to be viewed as a good value. We're not cheap. In fact, some people might call us expensive, but I think you get what you pay for. You know, these are senior financial executives that can really bring a lot of value to a company. And a lot of times we'll find a lot of low-hanging fruit when we get into especially a company that has never experienced or had a seasoned finance guy who's really working on their behalf. But we really, you know, we just jump for our clients, and you know, when these private equity firms call us, we jump through hoops. We send people all over the country, and you know, we sort of guarantee satisfaction. If they're not happy with our people, we will do whatever we can to rectify that, or we'll replace that person. A lot of this stuff comes down to sort of chemistry, and you know, this is professional services. It's not science. So a lot of times it just comes down to working chemistry and selecting the right person to work with the right CEO and or board, because we work for a lot of entrepreneurs, we work for family-owned businesses, and we work for professional management teams, and all of those have their different challenges.
Well, you know, you said something, Carl, that I guess in my experience, I can certainly verify that from my perspective, in that companies below the $50 million revenue level, many times the CEO or owner, whatever position might be, founder, doesn't really understand, because they haven't experienced how much better their life can be if they have a more senior level financial person on their staff, even part-time, helping them think through the strategic issues and the tactical challenges that they have in the business. It is unbelievable to me the return on investment that those companies can get when they move from a controller or bookkeeper or whatever level of support they have to a true CFO or someone with that level of experience.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that, Rick. And we like getting into situations because, you know, we're able to show value typically within a month or two or three. And a lot of these entrepreneurs, I mean, they're fantastic salespeople, or they're an engineer, they come up with an idea, but they've never worked closely with a skilled, experienced CFO, so they don't know what they do. And you mentioned the term strategic, and our partners are very strategic. If you think of a CFO thinking forward and a controller sort of thinking backward, controllers process information, prepare financials, historical reports. CFOs have to be looking through the windshield instead of the rearview mirror as to what's coming. And a lot of companies will actually profitably grow themselves out of working capital because they're not thinking about, you know, the amount of working capital that it requires to grow a firm. I mean, I'm going through that with my own firm right now. I mean, capital is key, and if you can grow profitably and your profits are such that you don't need outside leverage or debt or equity, that's fantastic. But that's typically not the case. So, you know, growing a small firm, we're going through it right now, but our partners are experts at that. And we have partners that are specialists in, let's say, technology, healthcare, real estate. And we've got public company guys, and we have CFO partners that like working with family-owned businesses or private equity-owned businesses. They all have their own unique characteristics.
We're going to take a short sponsorship break, Carl. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to think back to a time in your professional career where, looking back on it now, you realized you learned a really valuable lesson, business lesson, but that lesson came from a set of experiences that maybe at the time felt difficult or challenging to endure. So, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Carl Hardesty of Hardesty LLC will be back to answer that question and a few others here on Critical Mass, the radio show. But first, let's share these words from our sponsors.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Green lights.
Hey, girl.
School zone.
I'm getting hungry.
Car changing lanes.
You want to meet me for pizza?
Stop sign. Intersection clear.
Yeah.
Street.
Pizza sounds good.
Ball in street?
Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. Carl Hardesty is our guest. Carl, can you think about a time where you learned a great lesson, but it was through a difficult experience?
I just learned a very good lesson. We, you know, as a young company, you know, all clients look pretty good, and we took on a client situation, and you know, everything looked good, and they started dragging out the payments, and you know, we have people out billing, and we're paying them, obviously, and you know, the bill kept getting, you know, older and older and older, and you know, as I mentioned, we try to do everything for our clients, and if they're a little slow paying, we don't get too concerned, but this one started getting really slow paying. So it looks like now we're dealing with, you know, a bad debt, and you know, that's, you know, that's a hard lesson to learn as a new company. And you know, we had our head in the right place in terms of trying to do the thing for the client, but you know, the last thing we want to do is go out and pull consultants off of client engagements and disrupt that. But you know, at the end of the day, it's probably something we should have done. We should have had a little closer chat with them in terms of keeping the bills current. So that's a tough lesson for a young company, but a lesson for all companies. You got to stay on top of your clients and your receivables.
You said in that answer and in your previous conversation that, you know, young companies and growing companies can grow themselves out of cash. And
right.
I marvel how many times that
that scenario plays itself out in companies where you really fall in love as the CEO with this top-line revenue growth, and especially if you're a manufacturing company or a construction company or any companies, professional services, you have payroll. I mean, you're putting money into the business well in advance of when you're going to expect to get it back, and if you're not careful, you really do run yourself the risk of running out of the cash to get to the promised land, and that becomes a very difficult place for the CEO to be. It's almost like counterintuitive, but it becomes very real when the checkbook says, you know, we can't make the payroll this month.
Absolutely. And one of the things we do, one of our best practices when we're out on assignment as an interim CFO or interim controller, we have a process where, you know, we absolutely want to have an ongoing forecasting process and mechanism in place if they don't have one to, even if you think you're flush with cash, I mean, there might be situations. You know, what if a large client doesn't pay? What if a couple large clients don't pay and you've got those ongoing recurring bills? What if you don't have a credit line set up? So you always have to be very jealous of your cash and, you know, look ahead. You know, the classic, what they call 13-week cash flow, every company ought to be running one of those and have a model set up that mirrors your business where you can forecast your working capital, because some of these growing activities will suck up working capital faster than you can imagine it. So, you know, having an appropriate capital structure, being, you know, having a line of credit with your bank and knowing when you're going to need to tap into that is just absolutely critical for these growing companies. There's some statistics on the number of companies that fail before they hit 20 million, and it's just astounding. A lot of it is they literally grow themselves out of capital and sort of get in a bind, and then they're looking at very expensive credit. And it's just a bad scene. You can avoid a lot of that by having proper financial management and proper forecasting process in place.
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, you end up losing your company just because somebody else will come in who has the ability to fund it, and you're on the sidelines.
Yeah, that's very possible. It's very possible.
So tell me about growth. Having said all that now, we've sort of set the stage for it, but I have to know, where do you see Hardesty going? What's the future hold? We're going to have you back in the future. You're going to be talking about the company at that point. I mean, what is your vision for the firm that bears your name, Carl?
Well, our vision is to be a highly effective national firm. One thing we did early is we sort of co-sponsored this firm. I have investors from this firm who were with a firm called GlassRatner, and GlassRatner already had 9 offices around the country when we started Hardesty. So that enabled me to quickly get a national presence and put people into those offices in existing space. We are 2 separate companies doing separate types of activities, but very complementary in terms of those activities. So that partnership allowed me to get off the ground and get national presence. We've got offices in New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Miami, Philadelphia, LA, Orange County, and Seattle. And that, I think that was key in getting that presence, you know, out early. And we have been selling work for GlassRatner as well. And they've got a great reputation. And they want to grow. We want to grow. So it's nice having a partner that wants to grow together, even though we do different things. But as I mentioned, very complementary services.
That is a good lesson, a teachable moment for other entrepreneurs out there. If you can find a strategic partner like that, and it can really accelerate your rollout, and it certainly sounds like that's what's happening for Hardesty. If someone would like to learn more about the firm, what's your website? How do they find you online, Carl?
www.hardestyllc.com. We're also on LinkedIn. We use that a lot for news and for advertising. We found out that to be a tremendous source of for recruiting talent. And we have a great website. We went ahead and spent the money on that early, and we're updating it all the time. And we're very happy with the feedback we've got off the website.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of what is a busy schedule growing and building your firm to be here on Critical Mass, the radio show. Welcome to the community, and thanks for being a friend of the radio program.
Thanks so much. I enjoyed it a lot.
Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
What an exciting show. My producer, Paul, and I are tickled that we had such interesting guests who are entrepreneurs and growing, thriving businesses in very different arenas, right? But yet building companies here in Orange County and across the country and creating clients around the globe, hopefully, ultimately. So this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass, the radio show, saying until the next time we have a chance to talk, here's hoping that all your business decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show, only on OCTalkRadio.net.